You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to this episode of the Daily Vet Life Podcast, where we chat with equine veterinarians about the cases they've worked on in their clinics. I'm your host, Alex Beckstedt, Editorial Director of Equimanagement, and today I'm speaking with Dr. Rebecca McConey about one of her emergency wound cases. This episode of the Daily Vet Life Podcast is brought to you by DECRA. Dr. McConey earned her Doctor of Veterinary Medicine degree from the Western College of Veterinary Medicine in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. After spending 4 years on the Canadian prairies, she completed a rotating veterinary internship at Arizona Equine outside of Phoenix, Arizona. She then moved to upstate New York, where she completed a 3-year residency in large animal surgery at Cornell University, and subsequently stayed in the role of clinical instructor. Dr. McConey completed ACVS fellowship training in soft tissue minimally invasive surgery and is an assistant professor in the section of large animal surgery at Cornell University. Her clinical interests include orthopedic and soft tissue surgery, as well as lameness evaluation in horses and other farm animals. She is passionate about veterinary student and surgical skill education. Thank you, Dr. McConey, for joining us today.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's get started and jump right in because I'm excited to hear about this case that you're sharing with us today. Tell us about it. Tell us how the patient first presented to you and your team there at Cornell.
Yes, absolutely. So this is a bit of a story of a 12-year-old thoroughbred gelding. And this horse was used by a kid for some pleasure riding and a little bit of low jumping. Obviously, very well-loved horse. The owners were out of town for the weekend and had a friend looking after their place. The friend noticed that the horse came in from pasture one evening with a wound on the lower cannonbone region near the fetlock, back of the fetlock. Looked like kind of a superficial flap. They put the horse in the stall for the rest of the weekend until the owners got home. Started the horse on a little bit of bute, but when the owners arrived home, they were a little bit concerned that the horse was more lame than they would have expected just based on the wound and the fact that the horse was also on some bute. They were a bit uncertain if the horse needed some stitches, so they had their vet out to take a look. And honestly, as you know, right, this is a pretty common presentation of horse wounds. They're out on pasture, maybe with friends, and they come in and have done something to themselves. So I think it's a good thing in this case that the primary veterinarian for this horse was able to go out and investigate what was going on. This vet was astutely and rightly concerned about the location of this particular wound, right over the back of the fetlock, or just a little bit above the fetlock area. She was particularly worried about the potential for tendon sheath, so digital flexor tendon sheath involvement in this wound, because there's pretty little tissue between the skin and the tendon sheath right in that area. So she recommended or referred the horse in to us at the University Hospital for evaluation of the wound and to try to help sort out whether or not the tendon sheath was in fact involved and if the horse needed some additional treatment, or if maybe the wound could just get closed up. So we end up seeing horses with wounds, particularly when they kind of involve these dangerous structures, right? Like major organs, synovial structures in this case, like the tendon sheath or joints, bursas, that type of thing. And sometimes there's a really big gaping wound and it's pretty easy to sort out. Is a tendon sheath involved? That can be pretty straightforward sometimes, but in this particular scenario, the wound was investigated and there was a little bit of disruption. Obviously, after it was cleaned up, there was some disruption to the subcutaneous tissues and a bit of the fascia underlying the skin. And it was kind of unclear as to whether or not there was tendon sheath involvement. So based on our palpation like that, we also used a little probe to be able to further investigate it, but realized we were going to need a combination of diagnostics to have a better sense of really whether or not the tendon sheath was involved. And oftentimes it is like this when you don't kind of observe really obvious direct involvement with a synovial structure, you're piecing and puzzling things together. So In these cases, I find that radiographs can be a good screening test, sometimes before, sometimes after, direct palpation of the wound and evaluation of the extent of the wound. Apart from helping us to evaluate for any concurrent bone injury in these cases, radiographs can also help to identify whether or not there are gas bubbles within the synovial structure and can give you some indication of that. So in this particular case, we took radiographs and didn't see anything concerning. Particularly in this area, we'd be looking at the sesamoid bones for any sort of blunt injury in that area, and just saw some kind of subcutaneous gas tracking, not necessarily within the tendon sheath, or we couldn't really decipher it. Also ultrasounded the horse's limb. And unfortunately, there was quite a bit of subcutaneous gas tracking, which is kind of a limitation, right, of ultrasound in this sort of scenario, where sometimes if there's not a ton of gas tracking, maybe the horse has had a nice bandage on, or there hasn't been big disruption to the tissue, you can have a really nice look at the flexor tendons. You can have a good look and evaluate whether or not there's gas in the tendon sheath. But I would say our evaluation in this case was kind of limited by the amount of gas dissection under the skin. So ultimately, we decided in this case that we really needed to tap the tendon sheath and get a synovial fluid sample to have a better sense of whether or not the wound communicated with the tendon sheath and whether or not the tendon sheath was infected, given the horse's degree of lameness and the location of the wound. So we cleaned up the limb around the wound and were able to retrieve a sample. The synovial fluid was a bit orange and turbid, so we sent that to the lab for analysis. And while our needle was still in the tendon sheath, we pressurized the tendon sheath with saline. And unfortunately, as we were adding saline into the tendon sheath to pressurize that structure, we realized it really wasn't adequately distending or pressurizing. You could actually observe fluid coming directly out of the wound. And so it's kind of, I don't want to say exciting and make it sound, I mean, it's not a good thing for the horse in this case, but it is kind of cool to be able to see the fluid come right out of the tendon sheath and go, oh yeah, okay, we can see this communication, although it was certainly deceptive on palpation and we didn't really get an answer other ways. But based on that lack of distension of the tendon sheath and the fluid kind of streaming out of the tendon sheath, we were able to say, all right, there's an obvious communication here. We got our synovial fluid analysis back as well. And those results were also consistent with aseptic tenosynovitis, so infection of the tendon sheath. And so in that case, I think our lab results were a pretty elevated total nucleated cell count of about 38,000. Total solids of about 4.5 and mostly 95% degenerate neutrophils. So these are findings pretty indicative of aseptic or infectious process within the tendon sheath. So we were sure in that case to save some of that synovial fluid and also submit that for culture and susceptibility to see if we could grow any of the bacteria that were presumably present as well.
Calling all equine veterinarians. Are you tired of feeling like you're on an island when it comes to caring for your patients? Dechra Veterinary Products is here to bridge that gap. They understand the challenges you face. That's why they offer a comprehensive line of high-quality products like Zycosan and Osphos, and empower you to offer your patients cutting-edge therapies like ProVet APC. They're not just a supplier, though. Dechra provides ongoing training and support to help you stay ahead of the curve and deliver the best possible care. Visit www.dechra-us.com to discover how Dechra can be your partner in equine health.
So at this point, given this diagnosis of septic tenosynovitis and the known communication with the wound, we recommended to the owner some more intensive management. So I think this case really highlights the fact that you can certainly have simple wounds in this area that are managed in a pretty straightforward way with quick kind of cleanup and blocking and stitches, But when a synovial structure like the tendon sheath is involved, the treatment plan really shifts. So in this case, the owner elected for a recommendation, which was fairly aggressive local and systemic antimicrobial treatment, and then also to anesthetize the horse and lavage the tendon sheath using the scope. So we were able to flush a high volume of sterile crystalloid fluids through the tendon sheath to essentially dilute out and remove bacteria along with other debris from the tendon sheath. And the scope also really has this advantage of magnification and access. So with the scope, we were able to get into the recesses of the tendon sheath that would be otherwise very difficult or impossible to see. So we can take a look for other debris, like hair or other foreign material, visually observe that that is getting removed from the tendon sheath, and then also evaluate for, particularly for flexor tendon injury in this case. So like I mentioned on ultrasound, we weren't finding it particularly rewarding to investigate the flexor tendons with ultrasound. Certainly that's something we tend to recheck in the couple of weeks after the initial trauma, but on scope, we were able to observe that there wasn't significant injury to the superficial digital flexor tendon, which would have been the most exposed anatomic structure for injury in that area. The other thing that we're able to observe is the presence of fibrin. So this horse was a couple of days post-injury by the time we were flushing it. And so there's a presence of fibrin, this like early scar tissue in the tendon sheath that tends to really grasp onto contaminating bacteria. So we have the opportunity with the scope to be able to do a more directed lavage and really do our best to clean things up for the horse. The other thing, while the horse was under anesthesia, we were able to do a nice debridement of the wound and then did a partial closure. So because it's still the external portion of the wound is still presumably contaminated to some extent, we don't do a really tight, perfectly opposed closure, but it was essentially a partial closure with a little bit of distal drainage. So apart from the surgical intervention for this horse, the horse was managed on local antimicrobial treatments, so regional limb perfusions, and then systemic antibiotics as well. Recovered really well from anesthesia and within like 1 to 2 days, looking quite a bit more comfortable on the affected limb. So in that post-op period, we often keep these horses in hospital for several days, and this horse followed a pretty routine, as much as there is a routine course of treatment, in that over a couple of days with daily bandage changes, the drainage from that wound and from any of the portals really dramatically diminished. And so within several days, we were able to re-tap or resample the digital flexor tendon sheath. We were able to inject intrathecal antibiotics as well and TPA to try to decrease the likelihood of scar tissue or adhesion formation within the tendon sheath. And so the results on our synovial fluid analysis in this case were really positive and consistent with the fact that the horse was more comfortable, afebrile, had diminished swelling and diminished discharge as well. So the total cell count, I think, was about 5,600, total solids of about 2.4 and 40% non-degenerate neutrophils. So this is really positive in showing us that the infection has come under control. The tendon sheath still has some inflammation in it, which could potentially still predispose to adhesions. So we're treating with the TPA into the tendon sheath, and then also as the horse tolerates, also doing a little bit of hand locking. So ultimately, yeah, this was a really positive course of treatment for this horse, even though we weren't necessarily immediately on top of providing the whole spectrum of treatment options immediately after injury. We were still able to have a successful outcome. This horse was able to transition from hospital care with injectable antibiotics and pain control medications to oral antibiotics and NSAIDs and went home with really capable owners and referring veterinarian doing bandage changes. And then a pretty gradual, but a nice reintroduction to exercise as well.
So what are your typical recommendations for these horses after they've been discharged as far as the management and the gradual return to exercise? Do you kind of have a typical routine or program that you recommend for these clients?
Yeah, great question. So I would say that it's not particularly standard, but depends quite a bit on the owner's knowledge base, ability to say do bandage and wound care, as well as the horse's tolerance and also their level of fitness coming into an injury like this. So to be able to get them out of the door from the hospital, usually we're trying to transition them to oral medications that are easy to administer at home. Oftentimes the horses are on 10 to 20 days of antibiotics, depending on the extent of wounding that has been present, depending how they're responding. So the antibiotic care usually depends, or the rather the antibiotic course kind of depends on the referring veterinarian rechecking these wounds and the surgical portal sites as well to evaluate how the horse is healing. And the referring veterinarian also consulting on the pain control for the horse postoperatively once they're home too. As far as exercise goes, let's say if there's a pretty basic laceration or pretty small laceration that has been debrided and closed and is healing well with no indication of tissue necrosis or dehiscence, oftentimes they might be on stall rest for 2 to 3 weeks. And then at a point where they're able to be reintroduced to at least a little bit of paddock turnout after that, it might end up looking like another month or so of small paddock turnout before returning to full turnout. Maybe a little bit less eagerness to advance the exercise program if there's any indication of injury to the flexor tendons. Usually in those cases, we're relying on ultrasound reevaluation as well to make the decision about exercise planning for the horses. But in this case, it was pretty straightforward in that there's no obvious flexor tendon injury, and the horse really maintained a very good level of comfort as well postoperatively.
Sounded like he must have been a pretty good patient to tolerate all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So all told, how long was he at the hospital for?
He was at the hospital for six or seven days.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it would have been came in and had his wound work up and then surgery on the same day. And then in the kind of immediate post-op period, the daily bandage changes in order to evaluate the wound. And then the local antibiotic therapy with regional limb perfusions. So certainly, there are some scenarios where the horse might be discharged a little bit sooner, especially if they have more supervision from a referring veterinarian and we're handing off maybe some of that, the things like regional limb perfusions. And in some cases, I mean, I've painted a story of a horse that really had a very straightforward treatment and recovery period, but there are certainly instances where the horses have more trauma and also have significant wound complications or have persistent or recurrent infection as well. So there are scenarios where we have these horses in hospital for numerous weeks in some cases, and maybe they require repeated lavage of the tendon sheath as well.
Yeah. So do you have any tips or advice for practitioners dealing with similarly challenging wound cases? I know obviously in an ideal situation, you'd probably want to have that horse see a vet sooner than he probably did. But do you have any other advice for people facing similar cases?
Yes, I think that my advice is really to be thorough and careful in the initial evaluation of wounds. I think the upfront care in considering what anatomy could be involved, even if it's not synovial structures, can save a lot of heartbreak in the coming weeks or months when there are complications, particularly increases in lameness and potentially missed opportunities for earlier treatment intervention. So to me, that's a really big one. And then the other side of things is that in the case that I described to you, we were able to, based on the owner's investment in the horse as well, be able to provide pretty well a gold standard level of care for flushing and evaluating the tendon sheath with tenoscopy. But that is not always within the realm of what is appropriate. And there might be some scenarios based on the diagnostic testing and maybe really early identification that less intensive management of the septic synovial structures is appropriate and feasible and can still result in a good outcome at a lesser cost as well.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else that you want to share with us about this case in particular? Do you have any follow-up on how the horse is doing now?
Yeah, the last I heard of this particular horse, he was back in work with his young rider.
Oh,
and
good.
they were having fun doing their little bit of jumping. So he had a very positive outcome.
That's fantastic. We love hearing that. Well, thank you so much for sharing this case with us and for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, thank you to everybody who has tuned in, and thank you to our sponsor, Decra.